Welcome to the Jed Breaks Bread podcast. I am Pastor Jonathan Edwards, but my nickname Jed has been with me for the last 15 years. My goal is to encourage believers to have an orthopraxy as strong as their orthodoxy, that Christ might be honored and glorified through our lives. Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Jed Breaks Bread podcast. We're continuing our discussion through the book Shepherding a Child's Heart, written by Ted Tripp. This is a book that I'm teaching to our adult Sunday school class. And last week, we discussed the two types of communication. And today we want to talk about how to cultivate a life of communication. Really, we want to talk about how to cultivate a lifestyle of communication. One of the challenges that parents face, and I know I've been confronted with it on multiple occasions, is that we are too busy to talk with our children unless something is wrong. You know, your child comes up to you when you're sending an email or cooking dinner or working on a project at home, trying to do some chores, and your child wants to talk to you. And you kind of shoo them away and, hey, I'll get to it in a few minutes. I'll get to it soon. What does that communicate to the child about your communication? What does that communicate to the child about how much you value them? How much you appreciate what they want to say and the things that they want to share with you about your life? I'm sure that every parent out there can think of multiple examples when we have been too busy to talk with our children. However, we're not too busy to talk with our children when they do something wrong, when they sin, when they get in trouble, when they're unkind or mean to their siblings, or when they've done something bad at school. We definitely make the time to talk to them when something is wrong. And so children learn through experience that parents are primarily interested in communicating with them when things go wrong for the child. Now, what does this do? What foundation of communication does this establish between parent and child? Well, it teaches the child that communication is only important when mom or dad want to communicate. Teaches them that communication is important when they've messed up, or they've sinned, or they've done something incorrect, and mom and dad have to provide correction and discipline for their behavior. How does that give opportunity for your child to communicate their hopes and dreams and thoughts and intentions of their heart? It really doesn't, does it? And it's so easy to fall into the trap of becoming too busy to communicate with your children except for situations where they need correction. And I think this is a really challenging thing. It's challenging because parents have priorities of life. Not just parents. I mean, it's true that parents do, but everyone really has priorities of life. But when you're a parent, especially of young children, elementary age and younger, there are so many chores to get done. There are so many tasks that need to be handled. And a lot of times we get into a tunnel vision where we're like, get this task done, get that task done. All right, clean up the kitchen, make the supper, pick up the house, get ready for bed. And we're just doing this litany of tasks, which, let's be honest, they need to be done. But that often results in us being too busy to stop what we're doing and really develop good communication with our children. And so when I think about what does it cost to have good communication, there is an expense that is associated with the development of good communication. Now you think about it in terms of what you did when you were dating your wife or dating your husband. How expensive was that communication? I know my wife and I, we lived 2 hours apart, and so we didn't get to see each other face-to-face very often during the time that we were dating. But we would spend 1 to 2 hours every day talking on the phone. You know, I was in college, she was in college, we would be talking on the phone, you know, before we got our schoolwork done sometimes. And then we would hang up and then go do schoolwork until midnight and go to bed and wake up the next day and do it all over again. I think about that investment that I made in her, that she made in me. It took a lot of time to develop good communication. But you know, you're in love, you really enjoy spending time with that person, and so you're willing to make the sacrifice and the investment of time, and so it's no trouble to you to spend all that time communicating with this person that you're interested in marrying. Well, I think that's true with our children as well. There is an expense associated with good communication, and the first one, the first expense of good communication is making an investment of time. You have to be flexible as a parent. You have to be available as a parent. Sometimes as a parent, you have to put the things that you're trying to accomplish aside so that you can invest the time communicating with your children when they're ready to communicate. You have to be sensitive to when the Word of God or the Spirit of God has pricked their hearts, when has activated their conscience, and they want to talk to you. That's not easy to do, because they may choose for you what might be an inconvenient time. But for them, that's when the Spirit of God or the Word of God has pricked their hearts, and you need to go. They want to come and talk to you about the thing that is troubling them, or they want to share with you something that they accomplished in life, something that they were able to do that day, or an encounter that they had with another person. Good communication always involves that investment of time. And so I think parents need to really commit to being flexible, to being willing to prioritize communication with children over and above sometimes the tasks of the day. Let's just call them the normal chores of the day. That's one of the great expenses of good communication, is the investment of time. Here's the second expense of good communication: being a good listener. We are not naturally good listeners. We do not pay attention as well as we should. We don't comprehend the words that are coming out of somebody else's mouth, as well as we should. When we listen to people, oftentimes, we are just waiting for our turn to speak. We're not really trying to consider and evaluate the things that they're saying to us, but we're waiting for our turn to speak. And so if we're going to talk about the expense of good communication, the second area or the second expense is becoming a good listener. What that means is not just listening to and evaluating the words that come out, but learning how to ask good questions. How are you going to draw out the thoughts and intentions of the heart? How are you going to draw out those things that are hidden deep in your children's soul? How are you going to figure out what are their idols? How are you going to figure out what are their hopes and their dreams? You have to learn how to ask good questions. You need to ask questions like, what were you thinking? What were you feeling? What made you decide to do this? How are you going to solve this problem? How are you going to handle this situation? How do you think the Word of God speaks to this situation that you're in? Asking questions other than like questions that require a yes-no answer, that's a skill that must be learned. And that's a skill that is part of becoming a good listener. So parents need to develop that. Maybe you're not very good at asking questions. Maybe you need to practice on your spouse. Practice on your coworkers. Practice on somebody. Practice on your children, if you will. Say, you know, I'm really trying to learn how to be a better listener, so I'm going to ask you questions, not because I distrust you or don't think that you're doing things right, but I'm trying to learn how to ask thought-provoking questions so that we can have a better communication, so that I can understand you better. You know, if you have older children, maybe they're older elementary age, maybe they're teenagers, and you are listening to this podcast, you've gotten the book Shepherding a Child's Heart, you're reading it, and you're thinking, man, I haven't been doing these things. You know what? Have an honest conversation with your children. Explain to them what you're trying to do. Explain to them how you are trying to do a better job of honoring God by implementing these principles into your parenting. Now, I think your kids will be really receptive to that self-awareness and those moments of self-reflection. So if you haven't been a good listener, if you haven't learned to ask questions and develop them, start now. Start right away. Make the time to do it. A third expense that we find when it comes to cultivating good communication is having mental stamina and spiritual energy. Mental stamina and spiritual energy. I know that in my life, there are times when I crawl into bed at the end of the night, and my wife says to me, hey, I have a question for you. And you're just like, oh, I can't deal with one more thing. I'm so tired. I just don't have any more mental stamina left. And you say, can it wait till the morning? Well, I think as an adult, we understand that distinction between, okay, we're too tired to have a conversation right now. It's difficult. I'm not able to think clearly. And I want to think clearly because you want to have good communication. But mental stamina with your children means that you might have to have long and difficult conversations late into the night. Children may not understand waiting till the morning. Children may forget what they wanted to ask. They may not be thinking about it. They may decide that it's unimportant. I think that mental stamina and spiritual energy is something that parents also need to work on and develop. Teenagers especially enjoy talking at nighttime. I have had the opportunity to work with youth and youth ministries for the last 15 years. And one of the things that I've found is that when you're doing a retreat or a camp or something like that, and you say lights out at 11, guess when the kids want to talk? 11:01. They want to lay in bed at night and talk at that time. It's often a great time to open up. And I've been there as a camp counselor when you're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to have the energy to talk to these teens? Well, that's where the Holy Spirit can come in and strengthen you. That's where when you pray and say, Lord, please give me the energy to do this. Please help me to be able to focus. Please give me the stamina and the strength to do this. God will empower you to do that. That's called being filled with the Holy Spirit from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and following. Despite what our physical flesh may be feeling, God is able to give us the mental stamina and spiritual energy if we are humble and willing to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. I think that prayer is an often overlooked element in developing good communication. Prayer is important because it's asking the Lord to give you wisdom. It's asking the Lord to give you strength. It's asking the Lord to help you apply the Word of God that you know to the situation that your child or your children may be facing at that particular moment. You need to be able to bring God's word to bear upon the situation that your child is facing, and that requires wisdom. And one of the ways that we gain wisdom is not just through knowing the word of God by reading it, but by praying and asking the Father to give us understanding and guidance and direction. And I don't believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a mystical type of way. But the Holy Spirit, the text of Scripture says, John chapter 16, will guide us into the truth. This isn't a mystical process, but in order for that to happen, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to know the truth, be searching the truth, and you have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Father to use the Holy Spirit to help you understand what it is you're reading and how to apply it to the various situations of life. God will do that for you. He will help you in that way. He has designed it that way. Can we explain all of the minute questions and intricate details of this particular process? Probably not. It's outside of the realm of this particular conversation. But what we can say is that God is faithful, and He will give you the ability to have the mental stamina and spiritual energy necessary as you pray and ask Him for that in relationship to applying the truth of God to the life of somebody else. And in this particular situation, we're talking about the life of your child. Finally, the fourth expense to having good communication. To recap, number one was investing time. Number two is becoming a good listener. Number three is having mental stamina and spiritual energy. Number four, the fourth expense is to have an integrous relationship with your child. To have an integrous relationship, what does this mean? This means that you are going to be modeling Christ-likeness towards your children. You're not going to have a double standard. If you're requiring your child to not speak harshly to his mom, you are not going to speak harshly to his mom. You're going to speak with kind words to your wife. You are going to be desiring to implement into your life all of the character qualities that you are trying to implement into your son's life or your daughter's life. Are you telling them to be a hard worker at school and at home? Then you should be a hard worker. Are you telling them that they need to be honest? Then you need to be honest. Are you telling them to spend time reading the Word of God and praying because that's important in their spiritual life? Then you need to be reading the Word of God and praying. Do you require them to ask for forgiveness when they sin? Yes, of course. Well, do you ask for forgiveness when you sin? You see, children can spot a double standard and duplicity very, very quickly. And while children are young, they may not understand that all the way. But what will happen over time is if they continue to observe a double standard or duplicity in the life of a parent, especially in the life of dad, they will begin to discount the things that you were telling them. Well, if these things are so important, how come my dad is not doing them? If these things are so important, how come my dad doesn't seem to care about them? If these things are so important, then why don't my parents do what they're telling me to do? You know, having an integrous relationship with your children means that you, first of all, view them equally as sinners. You're a sinner, they're a sinner. In the light of God's truth and God's presence, we must acknowledge that we still sin. And we're continually working to improve in that area. Now, your children, if they're not Christians, obviously there's only so much they can do about that until they get saved. But you, as a believer, have an obligation to work on your sanctification in such a way that your child should be able to say, yeah, my dad is better today than he was last year in this particular area of his life. My mom is better today than she was last year or the year before. Having an integrous relationship means that you are placing yourself under the authority of God's word as much as you are placing your son or daughter under that authority, so that your son or daughter comes to see that he or she, as well as the parent, is responsible to obey God's truth and to live according to God's truth. Remember in a previous episode, we talked about how parents oftentimes create this artificial distance between themselves and their children. We think that we're greater than them. And we are in a sense. We have an authority given to us by God. We understand a lot more. But when it comes to sanctification, we are much closer to our children than we are to Jesus Christ. We have a lot of room to grow. And they need to see that mom and dad have room to grow just as they have room to grow. We need to be encouraging them in that particular fact. Hey, look, I know you're struggling with your work ethic right now. Dad has areas that he's struggling with. Dad struggles to speak kindly to other people. Or dad struggles with his anger. Or dad struggles with his patience. I'm working on this according to God's word. And you need to work on this according to God's word. We both have work to do. You see, now when you've talked to them about how you're both under the authority of God's word, you've created a bond and a solidarity with them in such a way that you will be able to point to their life, point to your life, and point to the word of God and saying, son, we're both trying to do better. Daughter, we're both trying to improve. And when you take this course of action as a parent, your son or daughter will realize that you have a solidarity with them. Now, they don't understand what that word means, but what they know is it's me and mom and dad together working to please God, to live obediently to the commands that he's given to us. And as the whole family works to do that, it produces what? Unity in the family, peace in the family, harmony in the family. It produces those things that are a result of a life spent obeying, a life devoted to obeying the word of God. You think about what would have been the effect for the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6 if every generation of fathers would have taken the command to communicate God's truth to their children seriously. If every generation would have taken that command seriously, would we have had to deal with the cycle of judges? Would the Israelites have had to suffer the various captivities by the Assyrians and the Babylonians? No, they would have avoided a great amount of heartache throughout their history if they would have taken the command of God seriously to communicate fathers to children the truth that he had revealed. And most importantly, directed the children to worship the one and only unique God. Having an integrous relationship takes time. And you may have found that you don't have an integrous relationship with your son or daughter. It takes time. Again, my recommendation is go and ask forgiveness. If you've gone down the road of parenting and you realize that you've made some very serious errors in your parenting, if you've sinned, go and ask for forgiveness, because forgiveness is the building block of restored relationships. Forgiveness is the first step towards reconciliation. And so you want to make sure that as you're trying to improve, there's nothing hindering that. There's no unconfessed sin which breaks fellowship. These four principles that we've just talked about regarding the expense and the cost of good communication are critical. They're absolutely critical in developing a lifestyle of biblical communication with your children and also with your spouse, with your coworkers, with the people that you work in ministry with at your local church. These four areas are critical. You must take time to put them into practice into your life. Now, there's one more aspect of a lifestyle of communication that I think is important to touch on, and that is the authority versus influence conundrum. Authority versus influence. And authority here is being defined as the things that might be accomplished by the parent with your child because you are bigger or stronger or faster than them. So authority in this particular situation is referring to your actions. Your actions have weight, and your child is compelled to obey because they fear the consequences of what you are physically able to do to them if they don't obey. Now, authority begins at age 0, right? You have almost total 100% authority over the newborn baby, because that child is totally dependent upon everything that you do. If you neglect the child, he can't do anything to help himself. If you help the child, then he can't do anything to encourage you. All right? When the child is 0, 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, they are almost completely dependent upon their parents. But as they get older, 13, 14, 15, 16, they are less dependent upon their parents. Your authority, your ability to accomplish things with your child because you are bigger, stronger, and faster decreases the older your child gets. Now, remember, we're using authority in a very limited sense. We're not using authority in terms of, you know, God's mandate for parents to have authority over their children. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about authority in a very limited context of what you can accomplish with your child because you are bigger, stronger, and faster than your child. Now, influence. Influence is the willingness of a child to place himself under authority because he or she trusts the parent. All right, so at the age of 0, you have no influence over your children. Why? Because you can't really communicate with them. They don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. They don't understand the world around them. So the child has no willingness to place himself under your authority. The child has no willingness to be influenced by you because they don't understand anything. Now, as that child gets to become 1 year, 2 years, 3 years old, they start understanding basic commands. No, stop, go to your room. They start understanding those things at 2, 3 years old, and at 4, 5, 6, 7, they understand increasingly complex commands. And influence, the influence that a parent has, relates to the fact that a child is willing to place himself under your God-given rule because the child trusts the parent. Now, theoretically, in an ideal world, the influence that you have as a parent should increase steadily as the child goes from 0 to 18 years old, so that when the child is 18 years old, and let's say they're able to go out on their own, to do their own things, they're willingly submitting to the authority of mom and dad because they're choosing to live in mom and dad's house. You can tell that a parent has a great amount of influence when that 17-year-old or 18-year-old child who legally could go out to live on their own is willing to stay at home and listen to the commands of mom and dad and abide by the rules that mom and dad have laid down and be invested in the family that mom and dad have cultivated. You can tell that those parents have a high amount of influence over their children. Now, how do you get that influence? How do you get your children to become willing to place themselves under your God-given rule? Now, and here we're talking about the biblical mandate for children to honor and obey parents. How do you get that? Well, I think the way to get it is to have a deep and rich biblical communication with your children. If you practice or if you implement the 4 expenses that we just talked about regarding good communication, I think that you will see as a parent the influence that you have on your child increase steadily to the point where they look to you as a wise counselor. They're wanting to come to you with the challenges that they face in life. They're wanting to come to you to express the desires and the thoughts of their heart. They're wanting your input into their life. Because why? Because you've invested in them from the time that they were very young all the way up until they're 18 or 19 years old, maybe even a little bit older if they choose to continue to live with you. And hopefully, if they don't live with you, when they go out to live on their own and they start having to make decisions of life that are very important and critical, they'll call you up And your influence will still be able to affect them even after they're 20 or 25 or 30 years old. They'll view you as a wise source of advice, as a trusted counselor. I mean, obviously, that's the biblical ideal. It's difficult, though. It's difficult because many times parents, when they see that their influence is slipping, try to exercise greater authority, try to accomplish what they want to accomplish by becoming physical with their children, either verbally physical, sometimes physically physical, by restricting the freedom of their children. They try to impart more authority, and it's challenging and difficult to impart greater authority when your child is 15 or 16 or 17 years old, because they can just say, hey, I'm as big as you are. I'm walking out. I don't have to deal with this. Authority versus influence. What we are able to accomplish because we are bigger than our child will never be greater than when our child is a newborn. But sadly, many parents adopt that mentality and try to apply that type of authority all throughout their child's life, where the better way, the biblical way, is to recognize the transition from authority, what I can accomplish because I'm bigger and stronger, to influence, what I can accomplish because I've built a relationship, what I can accomplish because I've established an integrous relationship, what I can accomplish because my child trusts me and I trust my child. Parents, like children, have to learn how to transition from communication, which is based upon authority in the early years, to communication that is based upon influence in the later years. And that's where becoming a good listener, having the mental stamina and spiritual energy, and developing this integrous relationship, that's where all of those things come into play. If you've done those three things, as well as investing the time, see, that's a prerequisite to the other three. If you've done those things, then you will have influence in the life of your children. Now, obviously, we have to recognize that these are general truths, general principles. It's not always going to happen the way that I've laid it out here in this particular episode. But this is generally true. Your child may or may not be a believer, and so it may not be as effective for him because he may be a rebellious person and not want to obey God anyways. So it doesn't matter that you've done everything quote unquote right according to the scriptures. Now, obviously, we're talking about the effect that your influence has on your child, the effect that your parenting has had on your child. It does matter to God whether you do things right or not, because all parents, especially dads, will have to answer to Jesus Christ for what we have done as dads and as parents. We cannot control how our children will turn out as much as we desire to. We are not in control of their eternal spiritual destiny, and we have to make that distinction in our minds. We have to be willing to accept that we could teach them principles, that we could invest in a lifestyle of communication with them, and that may or may not result in them becoming believers and wanting to obey and honor God with their lives. What is important is what I just mentioned, that you do the best that you possibly can, because all of us will answer to Jesus Christ someday for what we've done. Now, this is frightening because you think of, man, I've really made a lot of mistakes. But you know what? God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. And if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the same thing's true with our children. If we confess our sins to them, and talk about how we desire to honor God more by implementing these principles in our parenting, I think that will go a long way towards bringing about reconciliation and peace and working towards a lifestyle of good communication. Well, these are certainly challenging truths to put into practice. They require a lot of dedication, and commitment. But by God's grace and God's strength, I know that we can do well in this task as parents. I'm Pastor Jonathan Edwards, and I pastor at the Grace Brethren Chapel. You can find us on the web at www.gbchapel.org. And if you'd like to listen to some of our sermons, you can find them there. If you'd like to attend our church, we'd be happy to see you. Our services begin at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. If you'd like to hear this class live, come join us at 9:30 a.m. and hear this class live with live discussion. Thank you once again for listening to the Jed Breaks Bread podcast, and may God bless you as you put His truth into practice in your life.